Good morning. Hey. Wow. Thank you so very much. So this is what it feels like. Very cool. My goodness. Wow. Well, first and foremost, I have to give thanks where thanks is so very due. And this is going to sound like the Academy Awards first, but to Jesus, my Savior, oh, it is because of Jesus that I live. I live because He lives. He's good at me. To President Dembo, who couldn't be here today, I'm just so sad, but that's okay because he's ministering as well. But I think we can all agree that we have the best president and president's wife. They are phenomenal, such incredible, an incredible man and woman of God to lead this school. They have given their lives so that we would know Jesus more. And I just thank them so much for that. To Barbara and Trisha and Esther and the staff, hi, I see you. you guys have been absolutely incredible in walking with me in this new journey since August with working for Pastor Baker. And I can't thank you enough. Esther even gave me a stapler the other day, you guys, because I didn't have one. That's how selfless these people are. They're phenomenal. So thank you so much. To the faculty, I love and I adore you guys so very much. And this is my one chance to tell you, all of you, that the way that you pour into the lives of the students is absolutely remarkable. And I know that there are so many changes going on right now and the future is uncertain for a lot of you. But thank you for being stable. Thank you for being firm and for standing on Jesus and for teaching us truth no matter what comes your way. We really appreciate it. Thank you. To the senior class council, I'm not really sure if you guys know what you got yourself into letting me up here, but thank you so very much. it's been amazing watching you and being a part of the senior class while you lead it. Thank you so very much. And to the Spiritual Life Committee, I do know who some of you are, so I feel a little accomplished, but thank you for believing in me, and I know that you pray so intensely for the next senior chapel speaker every week, and I could not be up here without your prayers, so thank you so very much. To Pastor Baker, this has been such a fun journey, and I know that you say, you've told me before that my working for you is a blessing to you. But I have to disagree. Look at me. I'm being insubordinate again. But I am the one who is blessed. You have figured out what Jesus meant when he said make disciples. And sometimes we live our entire lives not really grasping that. But you are a disciple-making pastor. And from working so closely alongside of you, you have taught me what it means to love people and to disciple them. Because that is our purpose in life. So thank you very, very much for that. And to Sister Moore, my second mom. Look at this, okay? They kind of look alike. They act the same, and they're sitting together. This is just too weird. But I remember my first year on Floodgate, and you called me into your office and told me that you had enough faith and you had confidence in me to be a president of a team, having never been on Floodgate before. And then you asked me to do the same thing the next year. And I will never understand what you saw in me, but I thank you for the faith that you had in me and for the trust that you had in me to not only lead a team of four people across the nation, but speak into the lives of young people across the nation. You've taught me what it means to be a leader. And I thank you for that. You've taught me how to live a holy and righteous life for the Lord. Thank you. And I love you so very much. And to my Floodgate family, who's kind of scattered out here. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So we've had so many memories from almost getting hit by a train in Nebraska to to almost drowning in the waves in New Jersey. And I wouldn't have traded any minute of it. You are definitely my brothers and sisters. We fight like that, and we love like that, and that truly is family. And not many people can say that they have done ministry with their friends for an entire summer, living completely on the dependence of the Lord and the Holy Spirit, knowing that it had nothing to do with ourselves. And that is really cool. And it has been so great to be with you guys. And then to my friends who are just kind of everywhere, I love you guys so very much. And I do, I'm taking a long time on my thank yous, but so many people, I just want to thank y'all. But for my friends, I just want to say this, that as a little girl, I prayed so much all the time for such a giant family. I wanted lots of brothers and sisters and all kinds of cousins and all kinds of people to make up my family. And it is just me and my mom and my brother, which I love, and that's okay. But I can remember praying that prayer. And one day last year, I was driving up to the campus. And for whatever reason, the Lord just dropped it in my heart. And he said, do you remember that prayer you would pray all the time? Here it is. This is your giant family that you always wanted. So thank you so much, because you guys are my family. And in my case, water is a lot thicker than blood. So thank you for being my friends. To my roommates, Rachel and Tiffany, Candace, you might as well be a roommate. you guys are wonderful. And Hannah, y'all are all wearing shirts. I love you guys so much. For the two of you, thank you for holding me accountable and for helping me not be crazy. You guys are my stability. I love you so very much. And I love all of the fun moments that we have, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. I love you a ton. Now to my family. My brother Josh, you guys saw him up there, my twin. He's not really my twin. he would get on to me if he were here. My first semester here, I actually told people that we were twins, and they believed me. And then Josh found out and got on to me, so I'll tell you the truth. But he is my little brother. And I love him so very much. Josh, I know that you couldn't be here today, but that's okay, because God is using you to rescue the souls in Seattle. And I'm so very proud of you, and I love you very much. And you are so filled with wisdom and love, and you are an incredible man of God. And I hope one day to be able to live my life for Jesus the way that you do. I love you a ton. And now to my mother, my dearest mother, my rock. I don't say this lightly, so please don't misunderstand me, that it is because of Jesus that I am alive, but it's also because of that woman that I stand here today, both in the physical and with a foundation in the Lord. You have taught me what it means to trust in Jesus. I don't ever remember not knowing him, because you instilled that in me so long ago. Thank you for teaching me that without Jesus, life is pointless. And you won't make it. I love you so very much, Mama. Thank you. I'm done. Yay! Okay, I'm turning the page and I'm not looking back. Well, what do you say we pray and jump into the Word? Lord, we first recognize your faithfulness, God, and your greatness. It is because of you that we live and that we breathe and that we move. And God, you have been welcomed here today. And right now we ask now that you would have your way. I thank you, God, for using me today, Jesus. And let the words that come out of my mouth be instructed and ordered by you, oh God. Let it not be me speaking, but let it be you. And change all of our lives today, including my own. We love you and we thank you and we praise you. Amen. So during this last summer, I was very privileged to travel with Floodgate for the second year in a row. And now I'm not really sure if my team would think this, but I felt like we were very privileged to do a kids camp in Georgia, which was so fun. Yeah. And when we got there, Tasha and I had been chosen to be counselors for some of the kids. We had five little girls, and they were crazy. And they would always get so embarrassed of me and Tasha. So naturally, we had to embarrass them more. It was just so much fun. But one day, I was walking with some of the kids, and a little girl named Esther, she was 9 years old. She came running up to me and just laced her fingers in between mine. And so we're walking and talking and giggling. And, you know, she wasn't even one of my girls. She had just adopted me and Tasha for the week. And so we're just laughing and stuff. And we come up to this hill, and we had to go down it in order to get to our destination. But this hill wasn't just an ordinary hill. It would like grab kids and yank them. I kid you not. Kids were falling right and left all the time. There were rocks everywhere. They were bleeding, and it was, oh, excuse me, everyone. We need a golf cart. There are more kids bleeding. And so they would load these kids up on the golf carts and drive them, and you're like, make way for the nurse. And just constantly, whether you were paying attention or not, this hill had it out for you. And so I'm walking with Esther, and she stops and gets this bright idea, and she looks up at me with her giant brown eyes, and she says, Miss Jessie, I am going to walk down this hill with my eyes closed. Ready? Go! And she closed her eyes really tight. And instantly, mom mode, I was like, no, ma'am, you open those eyes. We have seen kids fall on this hill all week long. What if you fall down and get hurt? Open those eyes. And she did open her eyes. And her response, plus the Lord's voice, changed a part of me forever. She looked up at me and she said, Miss Jessie, I'm not gonna fall. You're holding my hand. And she scooped up my hand to remind me that her fingers were laced in between mine. And I teared up, number one, at the thought of knowing that she was right. I wasn't gonna let her fall. As long as her hand was in mine, everything was gonna be okay. As soon as she would start to go down, I would yank her right back up. And she knew that. Now keep in mind, I've only known this little girl for about 2 days, okay? And the second thing that made me tear up was that she knew that as long as she held my hand, she wasn't going to fall. She knew that. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, okay, this is your purpose in life. I have chosen you to be my outstretched arm in the physical, to reach down and hold on to people and give them security in me. Some walk blindly by choice, and some walk blindly because they don't know and they haven't had the chance to choose yet. Even so, you were chosen to be my outstretched arm. Now go. Quite a responsibility, huh? Acts 1:1 tells us that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken into heaven. And the cool thing about that verse is that Jesus began it and we were commanded to continue it. So if you will, please open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Floodgate, I'm going to be grading y'all on this. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples every command that I have given you. And be sure of this, that I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, we all know that this commission was given after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus during his time on earth before he went back up into heaven. But I want to take just a few minutes and look at the life of Jesus before these events. Jesus always seemed to find himself in the midst of a crowd. Constantly. There were always people following him, watching him, oohing and aahing, seeing if it was going to offend them this time or if he was going to impress them this time or whatever it may have been that their thoughts were. But nevertheless, going from point A to point B, Jesus always had people around him. And yet somehow he always seemed to have time for the individual that would cross his path. For instance, you've got the woman with the issue of blood, the sick, the paralyzed, the diseased, the demon-possessed, those that he raised from the dead, all of these different kinds of people, all at different times. And Jesus would stop whatever he was doing, wherever he was going, and not go around that person, but go straight to them and minister to them straight then. Now, one of my favorite moments of when Jesus ministered to the individual is the moment when he's hanging on the cross, almost completely naked because they had taken his clothes and now were playing some sort of game and gambling them away. And Jesus could look down and see everything that was going on. And there were people that were mocking him and repeating his own words that he had once said back to him to make fun of him. And then there were people who were spitting on him and cursing him. And in the moment that I would think that Jesus could be selfish if he wanted to, He tuned everything out, looked to the man next to him, and promised that man eternal life. Once again, Jesus was in the midst of a crowd, but he saw that that man's life meant more than his own. And the same with every other person that was there that day, and then every person from then to come. He knew that their lives meant more than that. And Jesus ultimately gave everything for people. Now let's look at verse 18. It says, Jesus came to them and said, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go. Now, Jesus made it clear to his disciples that he had been given all of the authority. And then he demonstrates that authority through his power and then commands the disciples to move forward in that same authority and do the things that he had done while on earth. So it's like Jesus is saying, okay, you know how you ought to live. You watched me and you heard me, and I've instructed you what to do. You have no excuses. So now go, because there are those out there that need me, and they need to know that they have captured my heart and that what I have done, I did for them in hopes that one day I would capture their heart in return. We serve a great God, you guys, a mighty God. Now, when I had that experience with Esther over the summer, I had this beautiful yet frightening revelation, and that is that Jesus trusts us with his most treasured possessions, the people that he created. Those that have been beaten and bruised, those that are in bondage physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, whatever it may be. Those that feel as though there can be no tomorrow, and those that think in their minds that there is no tomorrow. And Jesus trusts us with these people. But why? Because ultimately we are only sinners saved by grace, right? And yet we are sinners saved by grace. Don't you understand? Because there really are no other people, no better commissioners to go out and spread the love of Jesus than those who have willingly given their lives. That's us. We have willingly given our lives so that other people would have life, right? Isn't that why we're here? To follow the call of Jesus and live the way that he did. And now in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, you don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but you can. It says, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Those who say they live in God, that's us. And by our actions and being here today, you could say, okay, yeah, we say we live in God, should live their lives as Jesus did. Now, looking at the life of Jesus as we have just done, and the way that he gave of himself for all people of all nations, of all kinds of backgrounds, and that he gave everything, we see that nothing could stop Jesus from his love for people. His love for us drove him even to hang on a cross. Nothing was going to stop him. And Jesus knew the outcome. He knew that he would one day be hanged on a cross. He knew that. And yet nothing stopped him. He still did it anyways. Now, if you were here probably about a month ago, and heard Pastor Daniel Elvelek, he spoke. He was from Sweden. Phenomenal message. But he talked about, what is your I must? What is that one thing, that fire, that passion inside you that pushes you to do outlandish things, that one thing that makes you do whatever it takes to do what the Lord has set and laid on your heart? What is that one thing that to where nothing could stop you except if someone took your life? That would be the only way that they could stop you. We were Jesus's I must. We were the ones that he did what he did for. It was us. And for the people that so desperately need to know him, That's why he did it, to show and proclaim his love for people, those that he created. And you know, when they put Jesus to death, they thought that that would end the madness and the craziness or whatever it was they thought it was going to do. They thought it would end it. But what they didn't realize is that that made it explode. And Jesus had taken everything that he was and poured it into the disciples, into those 12 men. And those 12 men decided to give their lives over for the very same cause that Jesus was giving his life over, so that the Father would be glorified and that people would come to know him. And those disciples watched Jesus. They walked with him. They talked with him, and they learned from him that people are it. Jesus died for people. And now the disciples, we know that they also gave their lives for people, for the cause that people would know the gospel and that they would know the truth and the life and the love of the story of Jesus. Some were beheaded. Some were killed by swords. Some were thrown into oil and left there to burn to death. Some were hanged upside down on crosses. You guys know the stories. I'm not telling you anything new. But now, in Acts, you know, it says that the high council, they could see that these men had been with God, but yet they had no special training in the scriptures. And as I look out today and I see a little bit more than 12 in here, and also I know because of your presence here that you are here in order to be trained in the scriptures, and also that you have been with God because I watch you. I know you guys. I hear you in class. I see you in chapel. And so doesn't that mean that if Jesus did what he did, just be real elementary with me today, okay? Just real simple. That if Jesus did what he did and he passed it to the disciples and they did what they did, giving all they had for people, and here we are. You know, the command hasn't changed. God gave us the command in his authority. And then he said, go. And then he said, I promise to be with you always. And do you guys know that what we get in here, this isn't regular life. Okay? It's regular life for us, but this is not regular life. And we can't keep this to ourselves. We can't just go out on Friday nights to streets and that be the one. Boom, that day, that's when people are going to get saved. Yes, that's great, but what about the other 6 days of the week? And we can't just go on a spring impact and minister in Croatia or LA or wherever it may be and pray the entire year that God would move and not do anything else about the people around us. We can't do that. And I'm not saying, you know, that I've got this figured out, because I don't. I am number one on this list of needing truly to know how to love people the way that Jesus did and the way that he does. But the truth of the matter is, do we love people the way that Jesus would if he were here today in the physical? Do we do that? Or do we walk around people? Or are we going to be late to a birthday party or a hall event? Or maybe we just are afraid or don't really want to take the time to do that because of whatever it may be. But those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. So then, if we're not living our lives completely the way that Jesus did, are we living our lives the way that Jesus did at all? Because it's all or nothing, right? Not lukewarm. So, you know, there's only one thing to do. And that is, if we say we live in God, to live the way that he did. He empowered us. Look at where you are. He has given us the tools and the materials that we need to be able to go out and spread his love to the world. And you know, I stand here as I look at you. I am one very blessed person to know that one day I will see you guys across the country. I will see you in Europe. You will be in Africa. You will be wherever it is that God has placed you because of your love for God, which then switches into love for people. Because you can't love God and not love people. And Jesus gave everything he had, no matter what the cost, even knowing it. We don't know the cost, but is that going to stop us? And then does that mean that we truly are living for the Lord? What are we afraid of? We can't be afraid anymore. We can't be complacent anymore. And just like Pastor Baker preached yesterday, we have to live colorblind. We can't see people, you know, like in their color or in their race or gender or whatever it is that we may see them in, their status in life. We can't live like that anymore because Jesus doesn't live that way. And who are we to say that person doesn't deserve eternal life? So I'm not going to tell them. What gave us that right to do that? Jesus doesn't even do that. So please, just hear the cry of the Lord today. And this is something that has been so deeply on my heart for a while now, because as I said before, I am number one in needing to know how to truly love people. But this world needs Jesus, which in return means they need us. We're the ones. It's us. He commissioned us, gave us his authority, gave us the command, and then promised to be with us forever. Caleb, if you would like to come. If you guys would all stand. If you will, just reflect on the heart of the Lord today, completely on his heart. And now, these altars are open, and I challenge you, just as I challenge myself, to live selflessly for Jesus and for people, because what we want doesn't matter. How I feel doesn't matter. How other people feel, that matters, because I have a truth to tell them in order to help them, in order to lead them on that path of love and of life, and have Jesus do in them what he did in us. So I challenge you, just seek the heart of God today. Seek his face. Let him show you your weaknesses and let him work on those, and let him remind you of your strengths and encourage you in that. So please, be encouraged today and be moved by the heart of God that he has chosen you and he has chosen me. He didn't have to, but he did. And he trusts us with the people of this world. He trusts us enough to tell the truth and lay our lives down and do whatever it takes so that people can love Jesus too. That's why we're here, to glorify God. And in that, lead people to Jesus. So let's love on him today, and let how Jesus, his heart beats for souls. Let's let our hearts do the same, okay?